Okay, so what I'd like to do just very briefly is be mashlim, finish up the remaining topics that we have on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and then we'll segue into the next sugya, which we'll be doing, and will take us until the end of the semester, which relates to duchening. So, last time we learned, we were discussing the fact that Birkas HaMazon can be done b'chol lashon, that you can bench in any language, and we noted the comment of the Tosir Shans, and the Tosir Shans says that the fact that the Torah writes v'chalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem alakecha, so es is a ribui, and the ribui means that you should also bless the Baal HaBayis. No? Now, I think it's fairly obvious that when we speak about uveirachta es Hashem alakecha, and the es means blessing the Baal HaBayis, that does not equate, heaven forfend, the Baal HaBayis with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should also bless the Baal HaBayis, but the Ikar Bracha is clearly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Does anyone want to disagree with this point? If you do, that would be blasphemous. Right? So don't disagree. Good? Now, the thing is that this is not so pashut. There's a number of drushes in halacha from the word es, and many times the drusha from the word es tells me that they are exactly equal. Va'afareshet sichati. The Torah writes, va'araltem arlaso es pirio, that there's a din of arla, and arla means araltem arlaso es pirio, the es hatofel lepri, and therefore the shomer lepri also has a din of arla. In other words, not only does the halacha of arla apply, let's say arla is that the fruits the first 3 years that they grow are asar behana'ah, not only does that apply to the fruit itself, but the shomer lepri is also subject to the rules of arla, in that, let's say, the orange peel is subject to the rules of arla. Varautem arla, so es pirio. S tells me that the orange peel has the same din as the peel. That is quoted lahalacha by many Rishonim when they discuss what bracha do you make on orange peels. Okay, what bracha do you make on orange peels? I remember as a kid, like sometimes people would give you a gift, like when they came over for a Shabbos meal, and the gift would be like chocolate-covered orange peels. Is it still a thing?
Really?
What bracha do you make on chocolate-covered orange peels?
I would say shahakal.
You would say shahakal. So, because you're assuming that the ikker is the chocolate.
Yes.
Of course, we have to raise a question, what bracha do you make on chocolate? Who says chocolate is a, this is mamish, like apikarsis 101. Who says chocolate is a shahakal? Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach entertains the idea that chocolate should really be a ha'etz, because the ikker of the cocoa bean is to produce chocolate.
Well, no? Probably depends what percent chocolate you're eating.
So, okay, in other words,
milk chocolate, it seems pretty obvious that it's shahakal.
Because milk chocolate is primarily sugar.
Yeah.
Although we could still question what's the ikar. But okay, let's assume. But let's say it's like the good noblesse 85% chocolate, no? And you're eating that stuff. Do you make a Borei Pri Ha'etz on chocolate? So the Sefer Vizos HaBracha on Hilchos Brachos quotes that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt fundamentally chocolate is a ha'etz. But in his later years, he was uncomfortable saying this in public. Okay, so chocolate-covered orange peels, assuming that chocolate is a shahakal, so do you make a shahakal on the whole thing? Or do I say, you know what, I don't really just want to eat chocolate. Like, for example, a raisinette, no? What bracha is a raisinette? Most people eat raisinettes for the chocolate, not for the raisin, right? But if you'd want to only have chocolate, you would eat just plain chocolate. The fact is, you also want the raisin. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that you make two brachas on the raisinette, no? That you take a scalpel and you cut it, and you make like a shahakal on the chocolate, and the ha'etz on the raisin in the middle. That's not mainstream. Rabbi Forst writes in his book on Hilchos Brachos that raisinets you should only make a ha'etz. Because since there's a svara that chocolate is ha'etz anyway.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
So therefore, you make just a ha'etz on your raisinets.
Like for chocolate-covered almonds also.
You just make a ha'etz, no? Because it's a real svara. And there's also a svara that maybe it's the ikar, in the sense of, if I'd want plain chocolate, I could get plain chocolate. I want a chocolate-covered almond, no?
But if you wanted a plain almond, you would eat a plain almond.
Well, the almond takes up more space than the chocolate. The chocolate is just a covering. The almond is like the main thing.
Brand.
I am. I'm not so frum. I don't only buy this stuff. Okay, but now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because this is relevant for what bracha you make on orange peels. Do I assume that the shomer lepri has the din of the pri itself? And just like there is a halacha of arla on the orange peel, so what that is telling me is that the shomer lepri has a din of the pri, and therefore I would make a ha'etz on my orange peel. And therefore chocolate-covered orange peels would certainly be a ha'etz, just like a raisinette and just like a chocolate-covered almond, according to what we're saying. Or do I say no? I say that S does not mean it becomes exactly the same. Varalta Marlaso S Pirio means that there's a halacha, a technical halacha by Arla, that the Shomer Lepri is Chayiv in Arla, but it doesn't mean that the Shomer Lepri has the same din as the Pri. They're not going to be equated. It's not equated, they're not the same. For example, another example is like this. Verachat es kol b'saro b'mayim. No, the Torah says that you go to the mikvah, you have to have your entire body go into the mikvah. Verachat es kol b'saro b'mayim. Right? Es is marbe the se'ar, the hair. Not only does the entire body have to go into the mikvah, but all the hair goes into the mikvah. That's actually why you have a mikvah lady. The job of the mikvah lady when the woman goes to the mikvah is just to make sure that all the hair goes under the water. That's like the only technically halachic reason to have a mikvah lady. Great. So the se'ar, the hair, is also chayiv and tevila, right? Because it says, rachat esko b'sarel amayim. Does that mean that the hair has the same din as the rest of the body? Or does the hair have a different din? For the rest of the body, the Gemara tells me at the beginning of Erevin and elsewhere, that the din is by chatzitza, that Rubai Umakbid is Chatzitza min HaTorah, Rove Eino Makbid is Chatzitza midrabanan, Miyot Umakbid is a Chatzitza midrabanan. If it's Miyot She'eino Makbid, it's not a Chatzitza at all. Shall I review that? Ruba Umakbid, if it covers most of the body and your Makbid on it, Chatzitza min HaTorah. Rove Ve'eino Makbid, Miyot or Makbid, that is chatzitza midrabanan. Miyot she'eino makbid is not a chatzitza at all. That's like the basic halachos of tevila. Well, some Rishonim understand, Rashi has this in a number of places, that those rules are only true about the body. And about the hair, we have different rules. And that would mean, by the way, that any amount of the hair could potentially be a chatzitza, that we're more machmir on the hair. It's governed by different rules. The body is governed by Rubo Makbid. It could be that any tiny amount on the hair is a chatzitza, right? The Gemara speaks about the reason why you have to comb your hair before you go to the mikvah is because if two hairs are tied together, so that could be a chatzitza, no? But why is it a chatzitza? I don't understand. Two hairs are tied together. It's not rave of my head, right? It can't be a chatzitza min ha'tayra. We seem to understand there's a din min ha'tayra that you have to comb your hair before you go to the mikvah. What's going on here? So Rashi maybe holds that the S that says Rachatz es kol b'saro b'mayim, this is the way Vovel Soloveitchik explains it in his Sefer, Rachatz es kol b'saro b'mayim, that the word S is marbe, that there is a din of chatzitza on the hair, but the chatzitza on the hair is not the same as chatzitza on the body. However, the other Rishonim, Reb Velvel explains, say no, the chatzitza on the hair is governed by the same rules as chatzitza on the body, and really what we're worried about is that a woman's going to go to the mikvah with like some severe case of dreadlocks, that every single hair is tied together to every other hair, no? That'd be kind of unusual, but it's possible. Okay. Right, we have a few other cases in Shas where I have a drusha. This is like, I apologize for punishing you for this, but like I've been thinking about this for a number of years. Like drushas that come from the word s, and whether it's the same. Does that make an absolute equation?
But does it have to be a blanket statement? Like either it always makes an equation or it doesn't always make an absolute equation?
So it doesn't have to be a blanket statement, but it would seem more logical that it is. Or it would seem more logical that all drushas of S work the same way.
Like for Kibud Av, don't we have a drusha of...
Ah, right? In other words, S l'rabos wa achicha hagadol. Right? Kabeit es avicha. So what does that mean? So there's a machlekes in the Sefer HaMitzvos between the Rambam and the Ramban, very good, about do I honor my old... I don't have an older brother. Do I honor my older brother because that is Kibud Av? My daddy would want me to honor my older brother, or do I assume that it's a different din? Right? That's l'chaora, the same exact question, no?
Well, that there it sounds like both of them are d'oraisa.
I'm not saying that one is d'oraisa and one is d'rabbanan. I'm just saying that what is the conceptual underpinnings of this drasha? Does the S tell me that honoring my older brother is tantamount to honoring my father? Kabeit es avicha, right? Ve'es imecha? Or does S tell me, no, it's a different din? No?
It would be a different din, and would you say that it's less than honoring your parents?
Again, difference could mean more or less. Again, probably less. Probably there's more of a mitzvah to honor your parent than your older brother or your older sister, right? My sister always used to like give me drushes about how es l'rabos achoscha hagadola. I'm like, well, I don't think it says that. I have a sister. I don't have an older brother. But okay. Es Hashem Elokecha tira l'rabos tamid echachamim. So what does that mean? So the Meiri writes on that Gemara in Pesachim that es Hashem Elokecha tira l'rabos tamid echachamim is only your Rebbe Mufak or the Gadol Hadar. Because Morei Rabcha Kamora Shamayim, you should be as scared of your Rebbe, a Rebbe Mufak, as you are of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi and Pesachim seems to disagree with that, no? Rashi and Pesachim in Nafchav Beis writes that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Tamid Echachamim doesn't mean exactly the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just like a riboy that we want you to honor the Talmud Chacham, any Talmud Chacham. We want you to be scared of a Talmud Chacham, be scared of any Talmud Chacham, not only your Rebbe Mufak, who on some level is equated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, in my mind, all of this chalent is connected in terms of how drushes of S work. So the Taisus Shans over here says that Uberachta Es Hashem Elokecha L'Rabos Hasbal Habayis. Tosfos Shans cannot be assuming that S is a real equation. It's not shayach. It's not shayach that thanking the Baal HaBayis is the same as thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam, no? The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a line, Menoha Milsa de Amri Inshi, Gemara like Peites or something, Bava Kamma has like Pitgam Amamis, many things that people just say, and the Gemara tries to find sources for it. So the Gemara asks, "Minoha milsa da amri inshi chamra lamara v'tivusa l'shakya." The wine belongs to the owner, but people don't thank the owner of the wine; they thank the bartender. No. I go to.
I'm just talking about this with all of commercial things in general. How when people get a Coke bottle or everything, you just think the story got it from, or the person got it from, but, not, the whole process.
We don't think of the original source, right? We just think the latest person, or the last person on that conveyor belt, right? That's what the Gemara says. Chamra lamara, v'tivus l'shakya. The wine really belongs to, right, you go to a fancy meal, right? So the bartender goes around, he's pouring wine, or she's pouring wine for everybody. No, you thank the bartender. You don't thank the owner of the wine when you get the cup of the wine. Right? So that idea of Chamer L'mor v'timvusa l'shaki, I think, is the same idea that has to be true, that Ubeirachta es Hashem Elokecha l'rabos Baal HaBayis, it can't mean that the Baal HaBayis is somehow equated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Adkan, in my mind, this all connects. But fine. Let's go on in the Gemara. So we have a number of things which are done b'chol lashon. Birchas hamazon is b'chol lashon. Shvuas ha'edus is done b'chol lashon. Rashi and Tosfos disagree that why I would think that maybe Shvuas ha'edus is only in lashon kodesh. Rashi says that we're learning from the Shavu of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Tosfos says no. Why would you do that? Maybe you should learn from the Shavua of a Sota, which could be in any language, especially because by Shavua Sa'edus, the Torah Vayikra Parakeh, it says Vishama Kol Allah, right? And the word Allah appears by Sota also. So the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, effectively what we're saying is that we're not sure which direction Shavua Sa'edus should go. Should I assume that Shavuos Ha'edus is only in Biblical Hebrew? Because the Torah says, Vishama Kol Allah. The word Kol could be like Gzera Shavav, Kol Kol Mi Moshe. I think Abigail was bothered by how can you just like use Gzera Shavas. Learn, right? So we discussed that last time. Don't have any better answer than I had last time. But Tosfos is saying, I'm not sure. Do I want to learn Kol Kol or Allah Allah? So therefore, I need a Pasuk to tell me Vishama any way, any language that you hear it. So therefore Shuas Ha'edus is in B'chol Lashon. Shuas HaPikadon is B'chol Lashon. The Gemara says Techeta Mishvuas Ha'edus. Right, Tosfos points out that this drush of Techeta is not really necessary over here, but we have it elsewhere. Fine. The Tosfos in Shavuos that we saw was referenced on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph asks a question. How come we don't include Shavuos Hadayonim? Shavuos Hadayonim is like the Shavuos of Modav and Mixas, or Shavuos Bitui? Shavuos Bitui is like when I swear I'm not going to eat potato chips. Right? That's Shavuos Bitui. Shavuos Hadayonim is I say, you owe me $200? You say, no, Rabbi, I only owe you $100. So that's Shavuos of Modav and Mixas. So then that's Shavuos Hadayonim, you have to swear. So Tosfos in Shavuos asks like Kasha, how come the Mishnah doesn't say Shavuos Hadayonim and Shavuos Bitui? We already discussed it. Shavuos Hadayonim, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim, whether it is only in Biblical Hebrew or not. We discussed that. The Keren Ora writes, however, right over here in this Gemara, Keren Ora says, one second, why are you going to mention Shavuos Hadayonim? Shavuos Ha'edus is one example, Shavuos Hadayonim. Once you have Shavuos Ha'edus, of course, Shavuos Hadayonim is the same. Shavuos Bitui, how can Shavuos Bitui? Right, Shavuos Bitui again is when I say, I swear I won't eat potato chips. How come we don't have that? So the Keren Ora says, because there's zero Svara, why Shavuos Bitui should not be B'chol Lashon. What's a Shavuos Bitui? I say, I swear I'm not going to eat potato chips. So of course, don't eat potato chips. Be my guest. Right? You're deciding on your own not going to eat it. Anything I decide I'm not going to eat, the Torah says, is binding. There's no reason, there's no rhyme or reason why Shavuos Bitui should have to be B'lashon HaKodesh. Again, that's what the Keren Ora just comments right over here. The Gemara then says that Elo Ne'amarim B'lashon HaKodesh. The following ideas are in Lashon Kodesh. Mikra Bikurim is Lashon Kodesh because we learn Mikra Bikurim from the Shavua of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which is in Lashon Kodesh. And I know the Shavua of Har Gerizim and Har Eval is in Lashon Kodesh because Kol Kol Mi Moshe. No? That Moshe Rabbeinu is hearing from the Ribbono Shel Olam in Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu is hearing Lashon Kodesh, it says the word kol over there, and it says the word kol by the Shavuah of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, so therefore that also has to be in Lashon Kodesh, and once Har Gerizim and Har Eval is Lashon Kodesh, so therefore Mikra Bikurim also has to be Lashon Kodesh, ad kan divrei ha-Gemara, no? Don't have much to say about this, besides the fact that the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Peches, in the Sugyas of Matan Torah, which actually we invoked a teeny bit earlier, the Gemara says that Kol Dibor V'Dibor SheYotza MiPi HaGevura was Mischalik L'Shivim Lashon. Right? It's well known that the Torah was given in 70 languages, correct? It's also well known that 69 of these languages were different dialects of Yiddish. That's a Dover Pashat. all other languages, presumably, right? But the Gemara says that Kol Dibur V'Dibur Sheyotzim Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mischalek L'Shivim Lashon. So that already creates a little bit of a problem. What does it mean, Kol Mimosha? No? We're assuming that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu only in Lashon Kodesh. This is actually what Tosfos on the top of the Amud, right, mentioned. It's not so simple. Why do I assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu only in Hebrew? L'cha'ora, he gave the Torah in all the Lashonos. That's a question that many of the Mefarshim ask. Question is better than any of the answers that are given ad kan. Good? We're just speeding through the sugya. Chalitza. What language is chalitza done in? Lashon Kodesh, no? I've been to around 5 or 6 chalitzas in my life.
Did they say mazel tov at the end?
See, usually it's very... It's not like a mazel tov situation.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube and they all said mazel tov.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
Mazel tov. After she threw the shoe.
Okay. That's not the way I remember. Actually, one of the chalitzas I went to was, I had this guy I was in college with. His name was Mark Rosenberg. And Mark Rosenberg had a deal with me that he would do my linear algebra homework because I had no idea what was going on in linear algebra, and I would do his Bible homework for him. I mean, again, it wasn't like do it for him. It was like he would help me with linear algebra. I helped him with Rabbi Weider's Bible class that semester. Okay, whatever it was. So Mark Rosenberg was killed in the World Trade Center. And I was present when his wife got chalitza. I was present for like 5 or 6 different chalitzas. So one of the chalitzas I'm present, is, again, what does the pasuk say by chalitza? Kacha ye'asela ish asher lo yivne es beis achim. There's also one loch with a map of K, no? What's the word loch with a map of K by chalitza?
Not in that pasuk.
It's not in that pasuk. There is a word that we say. Lo chafatzti likach toch. Right, that's what it is. That the cholait, the man, has to say lo chafatzti likach toch. And it has to be done in biblical Hebrew. So I remember this guy, not in that case of the chalitza, different chalitza. The guy is likach, like he doesn't really know Hebrew, so we have it transliterated for him. He's like likach to, likach to. And like everyone's like, no, you have to do it right. You have to say likach to, likach to. Right? You have to get the mapik hay out. Remember Rabbi Sabalovsky, he's over there at the chalitza, and he's like, oh no, yeah, we make the balkori go back. You have to do it again. And like the guy's going crazy. Right? So do you have to do that? Do you have to make the guy go back? He says likach. Right? It's a hard thing if you're don't know Hebrew well, to get a map of K is a little bit difficult, no?
But you have to say the whole thing, not just that one.
So there's some things that she says, some things that he says, and some things that all those present say. Everyone present says, Chalotzanao, 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 right? Is this on the YouTube video?
No, just her saying this stuff. She says, Kachliyas Elish, and they say, okay, lift it up, throw it to right field. And then she throws it.
Throw to right field?
Like they were saying, like, throw it far.
And they do try to say to throw it as far as you can.
And she picks up the shoe, and she throws it.
Uh-huh. There's more to it. I mean, a chalitza is really like mamish, a choreographed thing. It's like a play. It's really...
It's so, even interesting that, like, the Gemara doesn't discuss what he has to say in Lashon.
Right, like, so the Gemara in Yevamos says that he has to say, lo chafatzti lekach toch. He has to say those
words.
But
there a whole conversation there about whether it's Lashon HaKodesh or not?
Well, our Gemara says,
only discussing the pasuk of kacha, it sounds like.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Our Gemara only has the pasuk of kacha, but that lecha'ora is megale the entire idea of the kriya. Right? The Mishnah writes that the chalitza has
so
to be...
So it says the kriya, it's not just the pasuk.
Mistama, it means the entire kriya of the chalitza, no? So the Mishnah says that by chalitza it has to be in Lashon Kodesh because it says va'ansa ve'amra, and we learn from the Levim, the Anu, the Amru. Reb Yehuda says, no, that's not the, you don't need that Gezerah Shavah, so to speak, but you can learn from the Kacha, Kacha Ye'asar La'ish Asher Lo Yevnes Beis Achiv. That's what Reb Yehuda says. So the Gemara gets into this whole conversation. The Gemara says, one second, Reb Yehuda is learning from Kacha, but the Chachamim aren't. What do the Chachamim do with Kacha? Zok the Gemara, that the Chachamim use Kacha to tell me that a Dovar, which is a Maisa, is Me'akev. Kacha, ye aseh la'ish. Right? The word kacha is as if it's going in the future. Right? Tosis on Amud Beis speaks in these terms. Do I assume that the word is going backwards or forwards? So kacha, ye aseh la'ish, it's going forwards. That the maisa is ma'akev. What's the maisa? So the maisa is the chalot hana'a, removing the shoe, that she takes the shoe off of him. And rikika. Well, is rikika a maisa? It's a maisa, but it's not a maisa that's done to him, no? She doesn't spit at him.
Yeah, that was unclear. Who does she spit at?
So she, honestly, what we usually do is we put a newspaper down on the floor and we say spit, and the dayanim have to see the spit. When my father was directing the Beis Din, actually, that's how your grandmother came to the Beis Din. You knew that?
We were just talking about that.
Grandmother works in a Beis Din.
Right, so the way your grandmother ended up in the Beis Din, just like the history over here, so it was a couple years that the Beis Din of America was defunct, to use a Yiddish word, and my father came in after my father left the Federation. He like re-established the Beis Din of America. And my father brought your grandmother to come as his secretary, because they knew each other from Baltimore from like a bazillion years ago. Right, that's the basic story. I forgot. Wonder if I think Hillel was born in Baltimore, no?
I think so.
Yeah, I think the others were not. But whatever, your grandparents were friendly with my parents in Baltimore like a million years ago. So that's how your grandmother came to the Beis Din. So the old Beis Din English language chalitza ceremony had the word expectorate. Right, and no one who was present at a chalitza had any idea what the word expectorate meant. So they had to change it. When my father was in the Beis Din, he changed the word expectorate to be spit. Right, because people just didn't understand what it meant. So what do? So you put a newspaper down on the floor, and you say, what?
Doesn't matter what's written in the newspaper.
Is this on the record? The point is that you spit the dayan, you have to see the spit, but you don't spit at him. She's not spitting at him. She has to spit in the way the Gemara learns that he sees. What?
I thought it was spit in the shoe.
No, you don't spit in the shoe. You take the shoe off, you throw the shoe, right? She takes the shoe off. By the way, the shoe is not stamaza your shoe, right? It's a special, there's like a term for this, like some women's shoes, like you tie the laces all the way up to like near the knee.
Gladiator.
Gladiator shoes, yeah, similar to that. So that's basically what it is. The shoe looks like tefillin, which is that it's like black on the outside and like regular leather on the inside. Yeah, there are special halachas the Gemara says about how to how you put together a chalitza shoe. It's mamish like an exciting thing. Remember when we were learning chalitza in yeshiva, so my father gave me a chalitza shoe. So we went over to a shechter to show him the chalitza shoe to discuss it. I was like, oh, this is the most fun thing ever. Rav Melech Shechter actually was in the Beis Din before, like many years ago. At one point my father in the Beis Din had to get a lefty chalitza shoe, so he called Rav Melech Shechter. Rav Melech Shechter was the only one around who had a lefty chalitza shoe. That's Rav Shechter's father. Okay, I'm totally saying random things. I have no shayfas to anything. But it's almost Purim. Now, the point is that the Chachamim learn kocha ye osela ish, that the maisa is ma'akev, and there's a machlokes in Yevamis, which maisa is ma'akev? Is the maisa of the chalitza ma'akev? If you don't take the shoe off, it doesn't count? Or is the maisa of the rekika also ma'akev? Rabbi Yehuda also holds that the maisa is ma'akev, but Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah could have used the word ko. Instead, the Torah uses the word kacha, which tells me that Lashon HaKodesh is also necessary by Chalitza. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda does not need to learn from Aniya va'amira, va'anu va'amru. He learns from the word ko, kacha, etc. That is what the Gemara says. Now, Tosfos says, one second, let's go slowly. In the Mishnah Yevamos, is a machlekes, what is ma'akev? Everyone holds the chalitzas hana'al as ma'akev. Other Tanoim say even the rikika, the expectorating, is ma'akev. But no one in the Mishnah in Yevamos says that the kriya is ma'akev. In that Mishnah in Yevamos, no one says that reading of the psukim is ma'akev. Meaning, if you don't read the psukim, it's a perfectly valid chalitza. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, I use the word kacha to tell me that it has, or ko, kacha, whatever, that has to be in Lashon Kodesh. So l'cha'ora, that means that the word ko, kacha, is telling me something about the kriya, about the reading. That means the reading is ma'akev, but it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. So Tosfos seems to conclude that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, kriya is actually ma'akev. And the way Tosfos quotes it, the bottom line of this amud is lo nechleku b'davar zeh, meaning the machlekes is not only about chalitzas hana'al and rikika. The machlekes is also about whether the kriya is ma'akev or not. That is the way Tosfos understands halacha lamaisa. Tosfos is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kriya is also ma'akev. And therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda requires Lashon Kodesh from Kacha, so Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're not yotze the mitzvah of Chalitza without saying those psukim. That is what emerges from Tosfos.
Is that psak?
What?
Is that psak?
So halacha lamaisa, we don't assume like this. Halacha lamaisa, we assume that if you don't do the kriya, it is not ma'akev.
So then why
do you... But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos says the kriya is ma'akev.
No, but then why in the Based in America are they so ma'akev on it?
Again, because we want to do the mitzvah properly. Again, push comes to shove, the guy couldn't get the ma'apakeh out, and at some point you say, okay, let's just go on, we'll go weiter. But that's what we do. Oh. So in the middle of this Tosfos says that there is no svara to say, right? Where's that line in the Tosfos? V'im islach l'meimah, de Rabbi Yehuda savar, de davka lashon kodesh ma'akev, avam lo kara klal eino ma'akev. Tosfos entertains the idea that if you don't read the psukim at all, it's a fine chalitza. But if you read psukim, you better do it in lashon kodesh. And it will be ma'akev if you don't do it in Lashon Kodesh, right? Meaning, if you don't read anything, it's a gevaldika chalitza. But if you read it, and if you read it not in Lashon Kodesh, it's worse than not reading it at all. Tosfos says, don't give me that idea, because it's a svara tamua. It's a very difficult svara. Right? In other words, Tosfos is saying, and I think we would assume reasonably that this is correct, that it makes no sense that something that you could completely omit, if you do it the wrong way, it should mess up the whole process. If you could completely omit it, so when I do it wrong, it's no worse than omitting it. Right? That's really what Tosfos is saying. The problem is that we have like a bazillion cases in Shas with exactly this svara that Tosfos says is untenable. If you look in the back of the Gemara in the Hagosa of the Maharsham, so he gives you like a bazillion cases to this effect. Let me give you an example. Megillah Daf Tes discusses writing svarim in other languages. And the Gemara over there is working within those Tanoim that you could only write it in Biblical Hebrew. You can't write it in Aramaic. And it's and the Gemara says, what's a case of Aramaic? And the Gemara quotes the words from Chumash of Yigarsa Hadusa, which are Aramaic words that end up in Chumash. And the Gemara is saying that the equivalent by Novi or whatever would be the true would also be true. So Tais asks Akasha, I don't understand. We paskin, if you're just missing a couple of words in one of the Sefer of Nevi'im, it's kosher. So how could it be that if you have a couple of words in a foreign language, that makes the Sefer pasul, but if you omit them entirely, it's going to be kosher? So Tosfos says, it can be. End of conversation. We have another case. To Tosfos Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav. Let me give it to you like this. Smicha on the carbon. This was actually a perm spiel that we did like a long time ago. You know, there's this discussion about Noshem Somchos Rishos or not, right? Whether women can do smicha on the carbon. Right? So, smicha is not ma'akev. Meaning, if I bring a carbon and I didn't put my hands, I didn't do v'samach es yodo rosh hapar, so the carbon is kosher, b'diyevet. Yet, there are many who assume that if you hold that women are not allowed to do smicha, if you hold that noshim somchos is not rishos, so if a woman would do smicha on the carbon, it would pasul the carbon. And the Balei HaTosfos say, that doesn't make sense, but that's the way it is. In other words, we have certain cases in Shas that something which I could omit, right? I could omit it, but if I put it in and I do it wrong, it's worse.
That makes sense.
Huh?
There is some logic there.
What's the logic?
That, like, if you're going to do it right, otherwise don't do it.
Okay, I agree. But Tosfos Bayis says there's no logic. Right? In other words, the real question we're going to get at is how come I have a bunch of cases where something is omitted entirely? It's going to be kosher. But if you do it in the wrong way, it's going to be puzzle. Let me give you a case that could happen all the time, no? If I have a ksuba, let's say, and it doesn't have any date, right? It could be kosher, in theory. You have a shtar that's undated. In theory, it could be kosher. Or, right, a get. A get, according to many, if you don't mention the name of the city in the get, it could be kosher. But if you mention the wrong city, it's going to be pasul. So that's in the tshuva of the Or Zeruah, Simin Memhei. Right? The Or Zeruah notes, that shouldn't bother you. If you get it wrong, it's worse than not saying it at all.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I feel like it makes sense, right? So how come in our Tosfos it doesn't make sense? As our Tosfos says, there is no svara in the world why something that you could omit entirely should be ma'akev if you do it wrong. And I just gave you a bunch of cases where we say precisely that. Yetai says there's no sir in the world. So, it's hard to know exactly what's going on, but the idea seems to be as follows. And the Onig Yontiv has this in his Chuvas in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. I tried to find the exact line on Bar Ilan to send it around, but it's a long Chuvah, I couldn't find the exact line. I just trust everyone who quotes this line, the Onig Yontiv, that they're quoting it appropriately. But the Gemara says that chalitza doesn't fully require kavana, but if I have the wrong kavana in chalitza, it messes it up. For example, let's say you tell the guy, let this woman take the shoe off of you, and when she does that, you'll be marrying her. Right? It's like the opposite of the way chalitza really works. Now, when she takes the shoe off, you're breaking whatever bond exists between them. But if the guy is told, let her take off your shoe, and bekach atakonsa, and that will be the marriage ceremony. It's an unusual marriage ceremony, but that's what it is. So then the chalitza is no good. Meaning, you have to have some idea that the chalitza represents severing a bond. If you have completely the wrong idea, so then you have completely the wrong idea, then the chalitza is no good. Gemara discusses, let's say the guy thinks he's having his shoe taken off so that he's going to earn $1 million. Right, can you bribe the guy? Show up to the chalitza, you'll get rich. Right, that's the discussion there in the Gemara. So the Oneg Gyantiv suggests that maybe the reading of the psukim is, again, this is almost like a darshin on time of dekra idea, but maybe the reason why I read the psukim by a chalitza is to make sure that we are not in a situation of allow her to be cholate and that will serve as the marriage. Kriyas ha-psukim is megale that you have the proper da'as. If that's the case, so then there's no svara at all. If the whole idea of kriyas ha-psukim is that it should not be a situation where you have completely wrong information going in, or you think it's a totally different ceremony than it actually is. So if that's the case, so once you're going to be machshir when you are not reading it at all, that means that we're assuming that if you don't read the psukim at all, that you have adequate kavana, that your kavana is not the wrong type of kavana. So if that's the case in a situation when I read the psukim in the wrong language, and I know what your kavana is, because you just said it in Spanish, no? So if you know what your kavana is, of course it's good. If it's good in a situation when you say nothing, so it has to be good in a situation when you say something, because the whole idea of the Oneg Yontiv Prusim Artaisis, the whole idea of Kriyas HaPsukim, is to just create a situation where you have the proper kavana. Unlike the other cases that we have, like the get, where you don't mention the city, you don't mention the names, it's going to be kosher. But if you get it wrong, it's puzzle. Over there, there's more of a formal requirement for the names. Or the cases by the writing of the Nevi'im in Sha'ar Lashonos, or the Taisvis in Kedushin about the Smicha. In those cases, those are formal requirements. But over here, the Oneg Yontiv says the reason Kriya is not just a formal requirement, Kriya is there to be Megala, that you have the proper Das, so it should not be a Chalitza Amenas L'Konsa. And if that's the case, that's why Tosis says that there's no Svara. Okay? So this is just the teeny little pilpul I wanted to have on this. Let's try to move to the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amud Beis and just do a few brief things over here.
Wait, just to clarify, the no svara would then mean that there's no svara to this, because if you do it in a language he doesn't understand, that would mean he'll understand this much more.
Exactly. In other words, the idea of kriyas, unlike the idea of, let's say, a get, or the idea of, or the other case we mentioned, there's like formal requirements. This is a shtar, this is a sefer, whatever it is. The idea of kriya by chalitza is to be megala that you have proper kavana. So if it's going to be kosher without any language, that we have no reason to assume you have negative kavana, certainly if I say it in Spanish and I know that you have proper kavana, that should certainly be good. Effectively, I think what the Oneg Yontiv is saying is that the Kriya by Chalitza is there to accomplish something to establish that you have proper Kavana. It's not just a formal requirement, it is there for a real reason. Okay, Chevra, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Duchening. Birchas Kohanim Ketzad, so the Gemara says that there is a difference, three differences, between duchening in the Mikdash and duchening in the Medina. No? Mikdash, duchening is done as one bracha. In the Medina, it's done as three brachos. In the Mikdash, you pronounce the Yudke Vavke. In the Medina, you say Aleph Daled Nun Yud. In the Mikdash, you lift your hands up on top of your head. In the Medina, the Kayan only raises his hands to the level of the shoulders, etc. Right? Three differences between Mikdash and Medina. Okay, ladies, what does the word Mikdash mean? What does the word Medina mean? What? It's not a trick question. Mikdash is the Beis HaMikdash, and Medina l'cha'ora means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Speak to me. Hey, evens. Yeah.
I was going to say, does that mean anywhere outside or just within Eretz Yisrael outside?
So, probably anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash. We duchen in Chutz La'aretz also. We'll have to discuss how come in Chutz La'aretz we only duchen on Yontif and we don't duchen every day like they do in Israel. But we do duchen in Chutz La'aretz. So anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash is called Medina. And therefore, anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, duchening is three brachos, correct?
Unless we bring the Rambam right in
the front. So the Be'er Sheva over here on this Mishnah invokes that machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Perek Yud Aleph of Maaser Sheni that we spoke about, no? About how we understand Lefnei Hashem, does Mikra Bikurim have to be done only in the Azara? Now, again, Vidui Maaser, excuse me, Vidui Maaser only done in the Azara, could it be done even outside? And we connected this to a Rambam about shaking the lulav, maybe it's a d'oraisa anywhere in Yerushalayim, meaning the Rambam expanded the idea of Mikdash anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. So the Be'er Sheva asks on that Rambam, but you see from this Mishnah that the word Mikdash is limited to the Mikdash. Meira, is that a hand up?
No.
No, okay. Right, so the Be'er Sheva's question is that Mikdash means only Mikdash. Good?
Why?
Because the whole idea of this Mishnah, or the halachos, that you pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Where is that done? Anywhere in Yerushalayim, you think you pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei? No, it's done in the Beis HaMikdash. The idea of duchening being one bracha or three brachos, that is because it becomes three brachas, Rashi comments, that you say Amen. Yevrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, you answer Amen. But in the Beis HaMikdash, no one answers Amen, no? In the Beis HaMikdash, no one answers Amen. So if you don't answer Amen, so therefore the duchening is not broken down into three brachos, it's one bracha. You say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam, or something like that.
It's possible to say that Mikdash means different things when the...
So, obviously, the word Mikdash means different things in different places.
Depending on what the other option is?
Probably. And that goes against like what we were saying last week or yesterday, or Monday, whatever it was. As we were trying to create an idea that maybe the words Lefnei Hashem, Mikdash, according to the Rambam, is like a broad category of terms that applies in many areas of Torah. But you see from our Mishnah here in Lamed Zayin that the word Mikdash only means Mikdash in the narrow sense, and no one would take the Rambam's idea that Mikdash applies to all of Yerushalayim. Now for next time, you'll look in the Rambam, Perek Yudalit of Tefillah Halacha Tes Yud and Yud Aleph, the way the Rambam quotes this Mishnah. And let's just give you one or two other points. There is Ksivaso and Kriyaso of the Shem HaMeforash, no? The way Shem HaMeforash is written is Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we don't pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, no? We're actually not even sure how to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. The witnesses have like one pronunciation that involves like a cholam over the hay, right? And a kamatz under the vav. The Tiferes Yisrael, no, excuse me, the Taisis Yontiv, I believe on this Mishnah, Taisis Yontiv says, Lav Dafka, is that the way that you pronounce it? It could be that you pronounce it the same way like the word Yira is pronounced, no? With a Chirik and a Kamatz. Or it could be that there is a Tzera in the... We don't even know how to pronounce the Shem HaMeforash, no?
Anytime it appears in Torah, too.
So
does the Sefer Torah have Nekudot?
No. Mm-hmm. A Sefer Torah does not have nekudot.
That's all Masorah.
It's all... So the Radvaz writes that the reason why Sefer Torah doesn't have nekudot is because very often we have many different layers of interpretation. If we'd have nekudot in the Sefer Torah, it would be limiting in terms of our understanding. Right? Sometimes we read a word in the Torah as if it is written in a different way. The Radvaz says that's precisely why we don't put nekudos in the Sefer Torah. The question is, will the Torah be puzzled with nekudos? Well, I remember sometimes you could have a Baal Kore who doesn't really know how to lane so well. So can you have like a clear sheet with the nekudos on it, like a clear piece of plastic that you lay down on the Sefer Torah to, right? It's like a trick. If someone doesn't know the trup and doesn't know the nekudos, so can you maybe superimpose? You'd have to be very accurate in the way you do it, or else it would be. But most Sefer Torah actually written exactly the same way today. So maybe you could do that. Have a laminated...
But then, wouldn't it not really be an issue to pronounce it wrong? Because then maybe you're just having the opinion that it's...
Yeah, so the thing is, though, that we have a Masorah of how we pronounce words. Right? There are Masorahs...
So try to pronounce it right, and if you don't, why do they have to pronounce
So again, if you don't pronounce it right and it doesn't change the meaning, so it's fine. If it changes the meaning, then it's a problem. And the question is going to be, what happens if the Baal Koreh pronounces it wrong in a way that changes the meaning to another meaning that Chazal have elsewhere? That's the Lamdusha question. But here's the thing to think about, okay? Yud Kei Vav Kein Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Is that like a Kri Uksiv? Or is it not a Kri Uksiv? In Tanakh, often we have Kri Uksiv. Like in Megillas Rus, there's like a dozen of them at the end. Kal Asher Tomru Elai E'eseh. The word Elai, right, is not written. In the Tochacha, we have Yakecha Hashem Batechorim, right? And... we read it it's written ba'apolim, and we read it batechorim. No, there is like there are dozens of kriyuk sibs.
But there are times when a pasuk will say aleph dalad nun yud, and then the next word.
So there are sometimes it says aleph dalad nun yud.
But then
next word is aleph dalad nun yud, then the next word is yud kei vav kei. So then we read that as Hashem Elokim.
Right. So then it's right? Kriyuk.
So that's also interesting. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but what we have to figure out is this a Kri Uksiv, or is it that there's really two different Shem Hashems? There's Shem Hashem the pronounced way and Shem Hashem the written way. It's not a Kri Uksiv. Let me give you an example. Throughout Parshas Kisetse, you have all the cases of the Na'ara, etc. The Na'ara is always spelled Nun Ayin Reish. No? Is that a Kri Uksiv, or is that just another way of spelling Na'ara? It's Nun Ayin Reish with the Kamatz under the Reish. Right? Maybe that is the word Na'ara in Chumash. So, we'll have to discuss some of these questions. Look in the Rambam, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which is, I'll send these Makoros out for these conversations. And Mir Tzad Hashem, next time on Monday, we'll pick up from here, and everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos and continue to learn Torah, because Torah is awesome.